Let's have a prayer as we begin our time of worship together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your holy name. You are the Lord of all. You are the King of the universe, worthy of worship and praise. And we bring our hearts and lives before you today just to do that, to worship and praise your holy name. Thank you for our graduates, upcoming graduates, and pray you'll bless them as they move into the next part of their lives. And we just pray that you'll strengthen them during this last time in school and through the graduation ceremonies. I pray that you'll bless each one, bless their families. Thankful that we can remember and think about this and celebrate this today. Thank you for our Pastor Joel, and pray that you'll fill him with your spirit as he leads us in your word study today, as he brings the message you've laid on his heart. Strengthen us all now, and may we worship you above all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we recognize our graduates.
Oh, want to welcome you, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Got a lot of visitors today, people that are here to celebrate with their graduating senior, and so that's a great celebration. After we're finished today, we'll go have good lunch up in the fellowship hall. So all of you that are guests today, we are so grateful, so thankful the Lord has led you to worship with us today. Take a few minutes, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we're excited to be celebrating our graduates today. Always, I like to have our youth choir sing, if possible, on the day we do this. And so Maggie Landers is one of our seniors, and Caroline Smith as well, been involved in the youth choir for a long time. Chloe Stewart also has been a big part of our youth choir over the years. So we're so grateful for them, and they're going to sing a song that gives a good message for us all. The same God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God that called Abraham to go to a different country and be like Father Abraham that we sang about as children. But he promised that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. The same God that called Mary to be the mother of the Son of God is the same God that we serve today. The same God that you guys learned about here at First Baptist is the same God that will carry you through college and your career and into the other parts of your life. And so I want you to keep your mind, keep your foundation on Jesus. So that's what this song's about, and we all need to be mindful of that too. Same God. Let's worship the Lord together as the youth choir sings.
I need you now to do the same.
For our offertory hymn today is a great, powerful hymn, 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We'll sing the first and last stanzas as we receive our morning offering. Would you stand with me, please?
Please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for the outpouring of your blessings on each and every one of us today. And we just thank you for this group of young people that are down front today. We thank you for their contribution to this community. We just pray that you would go with them through life and let them hold on to you. As we come now to this portion of the service, and we can just give back a small part of what you've so graciously given to each and every one of us. We pray that you would use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
17 and a half years ago, I came to First Baptist Church. And a lot of these young people I've seen grow up in front of my eyes and get to this point today. What a glorious thing and a great thing to be a part of. And a great thing to have good leadership in our youth ministry. And we're grateful for Warren and Heather Jones serving our church as youth ministers. And you keep praying for them as they continue to serve and bless all these young people, the ones that come after you as well. And so you take hold of what you've learned and carry it on through the rest of your life. So this time, Warren, would you come and direct us through this next segment?
Seniors, congratulations. As I say every time I come up here, this is one of those times that we need to stop. You got a lot going on. This is the first of several many ceremonies you'll have. You've got baccalaureate coming up. You've got the award ceremonies coming up. You've got your graduation ceremony coming up. All that is just rushing in. It's coming fast. I know you got a lot going on, finishing up a school year. But I'm just going to ask you, you know, just challenge you to take time, reflect, be with family, be thankful for the accomplishments you have, what you've come through, just time. This is just a moment where it's good to come and just be excited about what you have ahead of you. It's good to sit back and reflect on the accomplishments and the things that you've been through as a family, as individuals, as a youth group, as a church family. We've got a girl-heavy group this year, and we're proud of them. It has come with a few dramatic moments throughout the I mean, did I say it? No, I didn't. But great group that serves. I just think about memories of, you know, funny memories and memories where we have worshiped together and just God has moved and just so many blessings. And I hope that you will just sit and think and reflect and be thankful, you know, for all that God has done and for how he has blessed us and just poured into us. And I've seen him work through y'all. This is a group that, man, they really take and they lead our younger groups, our ones coming up. They really have a heart to shepherd them and guide them and welcome them into the group. I mean, it's just awesome to see y'all's hearts and see y'all work and be a part of it. So I hope you will take time just to reflect and think back and just slow down. You know, it's all going to happen, and it's going to happen fast, but I hope you take time to appreciate the moments and the friendships and everything that's going on. So as we reflect, I just wanted to come this morning and share a word. And I'm going to be reading from John 15 and just thinking about being connected. You know, this generation is really one of the most connected generation ever as far as being connected to each other. Social media, I mean, all the apps, Snapchat, you can get on Snapchat, open up, click on a person and bring up a map and see exactly where they are, how long they've been there. Look at a history of, you know, where they've been. I mean, they are connected in ways that, you know, my generation never knew. Yet even though they are still seeing where each one is and being able to talk to each other and just at the snap of a finger, they can be in communication with each other and know what's going on. Even though all that connectivity with each other is a part of our society, there's still studies that show within this generation, there's still more anxiety, more fear, more worry, more doubt. So what we're going to look at today, you are a connected generation, but making sure we are connected to the true vine, making sure we're connected to Jesus. So in John 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do remain in me, you are like a branch If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has none than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and have appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. So in a generation that is connected to each other through social media, connected to so many different things, there's so many people, as you go ahead and as you go forward, to be a part of this group, be a part of this fraternity, this sorority, be a part of this, there are so many trying to get you connected and get you plugged in to so many different facets of life. But the main thing which we have talked about week after week, and the main relationship that we need, Jesus didn't say, I am a vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Because everything that comes from him, without that connection and staying connected to him and his love and his peace and his purpose, that is where you find hope. That is where you find joy. That is where you find peace in the future and what lies ahead. And what we talk about and what we do at youth, I challenge our youth all the time. We've got worship on the water coming up. And I challenge them all the time to be Andrews. Andrew didn't have all the theology. He didn't know the plans of Jesus at the time that he walked with Jesus. But when he met Jesus and he spoke to Jesus, the first thing he did was he ran and he grabbed his brother Peter. And he said, we have found the Christ, the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus speaking on the Mount of Olives, feeding 5,000. 5,000 men plus women and children. Feed these people. Well, how are we going to feed them? Andrew's the one who brought the little boy with the loaves and the fish and said, Jesus, we have this. And Jesus multiplied and Jesus blessed. So like we've talked about week after week, be Andrews. That is your calling. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to have all the theology and all the answers. But you know the one who is the true vine. You know the one who everyone that you come in contact with needs hope, needs love. These things that statistics show about this generation, you're going into a world of it where everybody around you, even though they may not show it, they will have doubt, they will have fear, they will have anxiety. And they need the truth that you have and that you hold and that you know. And they need you to bring them to the truth. You don't have to have all the answers, but you need to stay connected in groups, in the Word, and you need to bring others in, as we have talked about week after week. That is our challenge, and that's what I hope that you will stay minded of and you will stay focused on and you will allow God to walk with you. Heather gave me showed me a meme or a post about a guy looking at Jesus when he was 12 years old, going back to Galilee from one of their festivals. Mary and Joseph walked ahead. I'm sure they were walking in groups as they came for different festivals for weeks and days. They would all walk together. Jesus stayed at the temple. Mary and Joseph went ahead. And they didn't know he had stayed back. It worried Mary. So she had to go back. Jesus, why have you done this to me? And he said, did you not know I had to be about my Father's business? She had kind of lost connection with Jesus. She kind of lost that personal connection, did not know that he was staying back. She was focused on the destination. And she had lost touch with that, with what his will, the Father's will for him at that time was. So I just want you to know that it's not all about the destination. You have things, you have blessings, you have a bright future ahead of you, but when you walk in relationship with Him and you know His plan for you and you allow Him to use you along the way, that is the goal of life. We make it about you have to go out and make money, you have to go out, have all these, do all these trips, have all this fun, do all this stuff. But walking with Him daily and allowing Him to use you is where you find your peace and where you find your joy. In the first chapter of Jude, in the only chapter of Jude, Jude tells us, "Dear friends, remember the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ and what they have foretold. They said to you, 'In the last days there will be scoffers who follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere supernatural instincts and do not have the Spirit.' But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before His glorious presence without any fault and with great joy. To the only one, our God and Savior, be the glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forever. Amen." I love that challenge that Jude gives us to snatch people from the fire of hell. There are people that need the truth that you hold. They need a friendship. They need peace. They need joy. And I hope that you will see along your journey, along your way, that is your calling, to go share the love that we have talked about, that we have experienced. And I hope that will be your focus. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for this group, God. I just pray your blessings over them. I pray that you will just allow them to see the blessings that they have all around them, the blessings of the knowledge of what you have done for us in Jesus Christ, the blessings of family, the blessing of friends and community, God. Lord, we praise you for what you have done and praise you for the moments that we have experienced you and your joy and your peace, your forgiveness. God, I just thank you. Lord, I pray that you will just be with these students, Lord, that you will lead and guide them. Let them cling to the truth that is Jesus Christ. Let them live for you and not as the world would have them to live. Let them stay connected to you and your purpose, God. I pray that over them, and I pray that you just bless them in all that they do, Lord. Just be with Joel as he comes today, Lord. We thank you for the word, and we thank you for speaking through your servant, Joel. We pray that you bless his message today, Lord. Be with this group in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to watch a video and then give you we've got a Bible with each one's name on it. This is what we're giving them, your own personal Bible, neat leather engraved Bible. So congratulations. We all couldn't be with us. We have several seniors that couldn't be with us this morning. Katie Grace. Cam Gentle. Maggie Landers. Hannah Lang. Madeline Manning. Milligan. Hayden Mora. Brianna Nardi. Maggie Oliver. Caroline Smith. Alex Smith, Strickland, sorry. Chloe Stewart. Jake York. All right, everybody, give your 2025 senior class a hand, please. All right, we're gonna stand here for a few minutes. Any mothers want to get a picture? We'll stand here and let you grab some photos. Y'all want to come down and grab some? Or fathers. Sorry, Joel.
Nobody wants to take a picture of the preacher. Hey, why'd y'all all leave? Y'all be taking pictures of the preacher. All right, Psalm chapter 1, real quick. Let's look at Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm chapter 1, Warren talking about the connection in John chapter 15. Well, Psalm chapter 1 is really the heart of the gospel of the Old Testament. So this morning in the early worship, what I basically said was, as we got started, was if you want to know the intellectual understanding of the gospel in the Old Testament, you look to the law. You look to the Torah. And the law gives you the intellectual understanding of the gospel in the Old Testament. Well, if you want to know the heart of the gospel in the Old Testament, then you look at the Psalms. And no better way to look at that than to open up Psalm chapter 1. We're going to do summer psalms this summer, but the first one we're going to do is this one. And what a powerful word for our graduating seniors. Listen to what the psalmist writes. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with the sinners, or join in with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, the Word, meditating on that Word, the Word that God gives to us day and night. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment, because sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path, guidance, and direction of the godly. But the path of the wicked leads to destruction. This actually is the perfect sermon outline if you look at it from that perspective. Verse 1 is the introduction. So he introduces this incredible, powerful biblical truth, and the introduction is kind of like reach out and grab the listener. So the whole point is for the listener to look at the introduction or to read or hear the introduction and decide, I want to hear what the psalmist has to say from this introduction. He says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, stand around with the sinners, or join in with the mockers. So he introduces the Psalms by saying, the joy of the Lord is the greatest form of learning. The greatest form of understanding is worship, adoration, praise of God the Father. Learning, growing, allowing the Father to teach us and to mold us and shape us into the image of His Son. It is the greatest form of learning in the sense that we are trusting and we are putting our faith in God the Father that He's given to us through Jesus. All right? First point. He says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. That is joy then. If we want to have joy, real joy, that comes from wisdom, worship, adoration, praise of God the Father, trusting our lives into His hands, then how do we gain that? How do we understand that? Well, we understand that from truth, and truth comes from the Word of God. He then illustrates the first point. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all that they do. So here's a tree. You've got the picture in your mind. A tree is planted beside the river. That river is then, in the psalmist's mind, that river then is the Word. That Word is an endless source of life. It never, ever, ever runs out. It never runs dry, ever. So in the heat of the summer, I mean, when it's 98 and it's 102 and the humidity is just raining down on top of us, in that kind of heat, that tree's fine. That tree has this endless source of life running right beside it, up under it, giving it nutrition and strength. It doesn't wither. It doesn't fall. It doesn't fail. Strong. In the bitter cold, no problem. It can withstand the brutal, bitter cold. Why? Because it has this endless source of life. When the winds come, like we've had over the past couple of days, the winds come, the storms rain down, blow, that tree's fine. That tree doesn't fall over. That tree's roots are strong. Why? Because it's by the endless source of life. When the sunshine is out, it's 72, there's no humidity, it's as clear as a bell. I mean, it's the most beautiful day in the world. You're not sweating, you're not cold, it's 70, oh, it's perfect. That tree's fine. Nobody even really notices the tree bearing fruit. The leaves are green. Nobody even really notices it then. But it's still there. It's still strong. It doesn't matter what that tree goes through. It has a never-ending source. Then he says, point number two, but not the wicked. They will be condemned in the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. And then he gives an illustration for that point. That person, all right, that person, instead of being like a tree firmly planted by the riverbank, endless source of life, that person is like chaff or dust or powder. Just throw it up. Golfers do this when they golf. They grab some grass and they throw it up and they see which way the wind is blowing. And so that's what we're like without this source that God gives to us, Himself and His Word, then that's all we are. We're just like dust thrown in the wind. This morning when we were in the early worship, Scotty Martin is our pianist in our early worship. And he said, you'd have no idea how hard it was for me when you were preaching to not get up, walk to the piano, and start playing the song Dust in the Wind by Kansas. You seniors are too young to know that song. But you old people, you know it because it's from the 1970s. I'm old enough to know it too. It's a great song. Scotty was like, oh, you're killing me. Absolutely, you were killing me. I wanted to get up and start playing that song so bad. But that's what we're like. We're like dust in the wind. Just throw it up wherever the wind blows and takes you. Yeah. That's what it is like when you don't have the Father. And then he concludes, he says, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. That is, the Lord takes care of his children. Always has and always will. The Old Testament wisdom literature emphasizes many different themes. The greatest theme is that wisdom is cultivated because we have fear for the Lord. Richard Pratt writes, the fear is not some kind of nebulous awe at the thought of God, although it is certainly a good thing to be struck with awe when one considers the attributes and work of our Creator. Instead, the fear that the Lord commends in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament takes shape, and it reveals itself in a desire and an attempt to keep God's word and to keep God's truth. Verse 1 opens with this pronouncement of blessing. So this is not, we have to understand, this is not something that we earn. Nobody in here is going to earn it. Don't try. You can't. Not one of us. There is nobody in this sanctuary today. Nobody in the early worship. Nobody that's darkened the doors of the church of this church today will ever be good enough to earn it. You can't earn it. It is the gracious blessing and gift of the Father to his children. Abraham's the perfect example. He became the father of many nations, not because he deserved it, not because he earned it. It's not like God looked down and said, you know what, this Abraham guy has earned it. He deserves to. No, it was a gracious gift of the Father to Abraham. The point is that blessing comes to the heart of the worshiper. The one who wants wisdom and worships the one who gives the wisdom. Not the one who in some crass way tries to earn his or her blessing, because I don't care how good you think you may be, you're not good enough. And so it comes to the worshiper who worships the one who is the giver of the blessing, not the blessing itself, but the one behind the giving of the blessing. Michael Lawrence says, in the Hebrew, the sense that the man who is truly blessed is the man who does not walk in the ways of the wicked. Certainly this depicts the ideal, for we'll not be sinless on this side of glory. In any case, the one who enjoys the Lord's blessing is the one who strives to avoid sin at all costs. This is accomplished as we meditate on God's word. Such meditation does not refer to this once a day quiet time, or as helpful as that can be. The idea is one of constant pondering of God's word during the entire day. From sunup to sundown, blessed servants of the Lord think about his word. Consider how to live them out in their specific circumstances. That kind of meditation cannot be produced, or cannot but produce the fruit of obedience in our lives. The result is that God watches over the way of the rich, of the righteous. Period. He protects his people. God is only correctly served when his word is obeyed. True. The wisdom that the psalmist is talking about, seniors and for all of us, that kind of wisdom is following and trusting the Lord. So, Psalm chapter 1 is the gospel. That is the good news. That is the gospel of the old covenant. Put in